You're listening to Valley Edition, a drug and corruption investigation that has rocked Kern County law enforcement for the last 2 years has now grown into a new stage. Last week, two former Kern County Sheriff's deputies accepted plea deals with the U.S. attorney on charges they conspired to steal and then later sell marijuana, which the department had confiscated as evidence. Deputies Derek Penny and Logan August could face prison time for the offense, which follows last year's convictions of two Bakersfield police detectives for similar charges. Both officers Demasio Diaz and Patrick Mara, in that case, are now serving five-year sentences in their respective trials. Joining us now to tell us more about this latest development is Lois Henry, columnist with the Bakersfield Californian. Lois, welcome.
Hi, Joe.
So last year, Demasio Diaz, when he was being sentenced, leveled these broad claims of corruption that extended far beyond just he and his co-conspirator, Patrick Mara. He said the Bakersfield Police Department had a culture of corruption. Now we find that this case involves the Sheriff's Department. Are these two things connected? What do we know right now?
Well, yes, they are connected. We do know that Penny and August, both in their plea deals, named Patrick Mara as their co-conspirator, as one of their co-conspirators, along with some nebulous others that are not named. And we also know that during last year's investigation, the DOJ and BPD both said that they were investigating at least five other officers in the BPD, one of whom resigned midstream. But that's all we know. They wouldn't say anything else about them other than when they finished their investigation that these guys were clean or they were not going to be charged criminally, and then they were going to just simply look at whether they had these other BPD officers had violated any internal policies. So, you know, it looks to me like there was that Diaz, thief and drug dealer that he was possibly being quite honest about saying that this was a widespread issue. And if you go back and you look at a 68-page statement that he filed with the court last year, in part of it he talks about the HDTA, the High Drug Traffic Three-County Task Force. I'm sure you know what I mean because we've all covered this task force that basically was looking for meth and trying to take down the big dealers without county jurisdiction being a problem. So we're talking about officers from a number of different counties and a number of different jurisdictions. And Diaz said that that was basically unsupervised. They did buys, they confiscated drugs, they did all the things that you can think of as an undercover officer and basically didn't really have anyone checking up on them, and that he called it basically rife for corruption. He acknowledged engaging in sales and corruption in that area. And of course, who knows how many other officers from which different jurisdictions there were. And then, you know, come to find out, two guys from the Sheriff's Department definitely named Mara in their plea agreements. So, it just makes you sort of drop your chin and go, okay, you know, what's next? And, of course, all the law enforcement agencies are just, you know, playing mom. The Sheriff's Department won't even tell us if they've done any kind of an internal investigation, even just to, you know, revamp their procedures on their evidence lockers or, you know, even bother to change the locks. I mean, they won't say anything to anybody. And, you know, it's sort of circling the wagons. And I think that that's the exact wrong thing. That's what my column was about. It's the exact wrong thing to do because these things are happening in the public. These people are getting arrested and charged and possibly put into prison. So it's not like we don't see it happening in front of us. And we kind of like our law enforcement to at least crack the door a little and let us know what they're doing to try and ameliorate the situation.
Now you can read Lois's latest column in the Bakersfield Californian and online at bakersfield.com. Lois, last year, then Bakersfield Police Chief Greg Williamson, shortly before he retired, said he didn't believe there was a culture of corruption in his department and that the Diaz and Mara situation was an isolated incident. What do we know about that right now? Is there any additional evidence that there might be ongoing investigations there? You mentioned those internal investigations. Have those completed at this point?
We don't know. They won't say. And it's all because, you know, the police officer's Bill of Rights prevents any public scrutiny of individual officers or allegations of complaints and how those complaints were handled or whether they were found to be valid. The Police Officers' Bill of Rights, which I understand, you know, police officers are in a very sensitive situation. You don't want personal information about them leaking out to the bad guys. You don't want them to be in a constant state of fear of doing their job because people don't like the way they do their job and launching all of these allegations against them, although that stuff happens anyway. So I understand why there's a Peace Officer Bill of Rights. I don't think it should be thrown out. You know, shouldn't throw out the baby with the bathwater. But the bathwater needs to be changed. The Peace Officer's Bill of Rights is what's keeping a lot of this stuff from public scrutiny. And so I have advocated in previous columns that it needs to be changed. And I think that we're just seeing yet more evidence that it needs to be changed.
When it comes to Sheriff Youngblood, you mentioned the Sheriff's Department has been quiet. He's been in the media quite a lot lately talking about his effort to make the county a non-sanctuary jurisdiction. Any word from Sheriff Youngblood on this?
No. And we specifically called the Sheriff's Department to try and get any kind of comments. And they were just like, nope, can't say anything. Nope. And they try and hide behind, you know, oh, well, the case isn't over yet because it's just a plea deal. These guys haven't gone to court to get their sentence and see what it is. And it's just, that's kind of all just, you know, bogus, if you ask me. There's a lot that they can say without damaging the case, and they could, you know, do a lot more to reassure the public. But, you know, frankly, in this county, I mean, you can see by my social media that I'm getting flayed for, you know, having the temerity to suggest that people with badges and guns ought to be held to account, you know? And so I think the sheriff's office, it really kind of rides on that protection, that buffer of actually having to answer any questions. I think to his credit, new police chief, Lyle Martin has been a lot more open as much as he possibly can. But again, the Police Officer's Bill of Rights prevents him from being able to say a lot of stuff about things that have been happening, like the two officers who rousted the young black guys who were college students walking home from sort of a late night, you know, Taco Bell feed. And these gang officers just stopped them and ultimately ended up, you know, sort of getting into fisticuffs with them. And I mean, it was just terrible. And it's like, well, we want to know more about what happened there and why. Well, you know, Lyle Martin can't tell us because the Peace Officer's Bill of Rights.
Do we know if these two former Kern County Sheriff's deputies, if they are cooperating and perhaps might have other information to share with prosecutors?
Well, that may all have happened, but we don't get to know about it. The DOJ wouldn't even let us know what the initial charges were that were then pled down, which, again, it's all part of the plea. It's just nothing but protecting these guys. And frankly, the Damasio Diaz statement didn't really single out any individuals. He just sort of talked about widespread corruption and areas where there was corruption and that there was drinking on the job and, you know, more patrol officers might have been given money to help facilitate stopping bad guys and getting their drugs. And then, you know, Damasio and Patrick Mara would take those drugs. But they didn't say which patrol officers. At least it wasn't ever, you know, mentioned in the public statement. And as far as Penny and Logan, it's just been a complete, like, out of just left field. Like, what? All of a sudden these guys, you know, there's no indication that they were investigating them, no indication that they were even in plea deal talks. Then, boom, these plea agreements show up actually online through the federal court system, and, you know, media found them. And unless you ask DOJ a specific question, they're not saying anything. Meanwhile, as I point out in my column, you know, a Mexican national grows some pot in the national forest, and they're just like all about the press releases. So no, we don't know if Logan and Penny have been cooperating or what that cooperation may mean or what the initial charges were, because, of course, you know, you usually go from a big giant bunch of charges down to whatever your lawyer can get it cut down to. So the public who gave these guys badges and guns, gave them $80,000 a year base pay and, you know, pensions that you and I could only, you know, hope for. The public who fronts the bill for that, the public that has to trust in these guys, the public that, you know, watches from the sort of back of the tailgate, we don't get to know anything. And I'm just really tired of it. You know, I mean, when Diaz and Mara were sentenced, I mean, the prosecutor went and shook their hands, and the judge, Lawrence O'Neill, you know, sort of cried about, oh, I wish I could pay for your education, to Diaz's daughter when she was giving, you know, her statement about her impact statement to the court. I mean, what? None of this would be. These are drug traffickers. These are, you know, these, and they're worse than drug traffickers because they put their fellow officers at risk. You know, they put their own families at risk to get a little bit more money when they were getting a damn good salary to start with. So I don't understand the kid gloves. I don't understand the support for these guys. I mean, they are just thieves and drug dealers, and everybody's sort of like, you know, oh, well, you know, we better be on, you know, give them the velvet glove treatment. And I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand it. So if I was a cop, or if I was a cop's wife, I'd want to wring their necks. Oh my God, they're putting their fellow officers at complete risk. Sorry.
These are federal charges that are being levied right now. There's also a state investigation into law enforcement in Kern County. Does this factor into that in any way?
Well, I did some PRAs, public records requests, to the California Attorney General, and I got, you know, sort of the pound sand kind of response when I was trying to find out exactly what they were looking at and who they were looking at and you know, how far this look extended. And so far from what we've been able to ascertain, they're looking at more the civil rights violations of wrongful deaths and abuses, physical abuses and stuff like that. I don't know that they're looking into the, you know, law enforcement drug cartels that are apparently operating here in Kern County. So I don't know if they're looking into that or not. I mean, yet again, the public doesn't get to know. And I understand you can't, you know, open up investigations completely, but it, you know, just a little bit, you know, something so that the public can know what's happening with their police forces, their money, their trust in these law enforcement folks. All right.
Well, it's very interesting.
You can tell I'm a little irked.
We will continue to follow this, as will Lois Henry with the Californian. The next court date is set for May 15th at the U.S. Court in Fresno, and we'll bring you updates on that and more. Again, Lois Henry with the Bakersfield Californian. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Thanks, Joe.